Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. How do we picture God? I wonder what images come to mind as you hear and read such a verse. That is a verse from Revelation chapter 4, but of course we often sing similar words, don't we? One of my favourite places to visit in Canberra is the National Portrait Gallery. Looking at the faces and representations of significant and or famous people, and wondering what the artist has communicated of who that person really is or was, and what lies inside them. I find all this a fascinating experience. And in Australia at present, we have the annual Archibald Portrait Prize, touring with some wonderful evocative images of people from all walks of life. It is well worth going to view them. Now, if you and I were to have our portrait painted, I wonder what we would wish to have captured of ourselves, and also what we would not want in it and not want revealed. And what poses, colours and textures would we wish to represent us? As I said, today is Trinity Sunday, the day we look at the portrait of God as Trinity, three persons in one, one in three. And we wonder, how do we talk about this? How can we ever enter into an understanding or an experience of this? We are indeed limited by our humanity, by our language, by our limited brains. So everything we say about the mystery of God will fail to be the ultimate truth. And of course, we often project onto God also our biases and prejudices. I wonder how many of us still have somewhere in the back of our minds an image of God as a grandfather type figure with a white beard sitting on a cloud up in heaven. You know, we were often brought up with that image, weren't we? And talking about what we project onto God of our own limited experience, the UK priest Mark Oakley says, if triangles believed in God, they would probably say that God had three sides. And Rowan Williams, the past Archbishop of Canterbury, says that we have to continually ask ourselves, what is the least silly thing we can say about God? Well, we do have a portrait of God of some sort, of course, in the scriptures, in the work of the early church, and in our creeds. These were worked out painstakingly and with a lot of argument over many centuries. And about the best portrait of God through all of these is this one that we call the Trinity. As Mark Oakley writes, there are three parts to this divine portrait. And the really interesting thing is that these also reveal a lot about God's portrait of us. Firstly, that God has created us in an act of reckless generosity. Why? Because God wanted us. So God willed us into being. And we are asked to respond to this with all of ourselves, everything we have and everything we are. Amazingly, Jesus said that we can even call this Creator our parent, our father, or even our mother, if we follow some of the wonderful scriptural passages about the nurturing, maternal love of God. In fact, I wonder if you were surprised by the somewhat feminine aspect of God highlighted in the figure of Lady Wisdom in the Proverbs reading this morning. As you will read in the scripture commentary that's included in your pew sheets today, the figure of wisdom actually in the New Testament, in St. John's Gospel, becomes the Logos, the pre-existent divine word through whom everything was made. Now, the second thing about the portrait of God from the scriptures and the early church is that this creator is not distant from us, but this God is right alongside us. This God is the parent who comes to search for their lost, frightened, damaged child in the bush. And we have had a lot of those stories over recent years, haven't we? And this parent never gives up, even when night has come. So how has God come to search for us? Well, it has been beautifully phrased again by Mark Oakley. God has a body language known as Christ. We are so deeply loved that God makes us part of his own picture. God made us and then became us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, in order to understand us fully and love us from within. There is another beautiful phrase from the late theologian Karl Barth, who sometimes reading him can be rather dry, but he does have some wonderful phrases and insights. And in this one he says, at the deepest level, we are all called Jesus in the eyes of the Father. Wonderful, isn't it? And what is the third part of this portrait of God? Well, it shows us that God breathes. This is God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and creates community with others. We cannot be a Christian in isolation. We are called into life-giving relationship with God and with others. Well, why? Because actually the picture of the Trinity is one of a dynamic relationship of love within the Godhead. The mystery of the very life of God is that it is relational at its core, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's not like God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Relational. And the very being of the one God is love. We are called to enter into full relationship with that God, the three in one. And someone who attempted a visual image of the Trinity in relationship was the painter André Rublev from the 15th century. And I had on the table at the back as you come in, I haven't got it there right now, I was going to show the children if they were here, but I do have a copy of that picture of the icon and I will place it out there again so you can look at it as you leave. This is a depiction at one level of the story from Genesis 18 of the three angels visiting Abraham and Sarah by the oaks of Mamre, to announce that the aging Sarah will have a child. This icon is also often called the Old Testament Trinity because it portrays what appear to be three divine agents, an appearance of the Lord, in fact. And these three speak and act as one, so foreshadowing the mystery of the Trinity. we contemplate the icon, we can observe, and I'll get you to have a look, a cyclical flow of love in perfect communion. Our eyes cannot stop just on one figure, because you look at one figure and that figure is looking at the next one. So you go around in a circle. And this continuous movement has been called the divine dance of the Trinity by both Rowan Williams and Richard Rohr. And at the front, you will see the empty space that faces us, the front of the table that the three figures are seated around. And this is where we are invited to enter as individuals and as a community into this holy space, not only to observe with our eyes, but also to participate with our hearts in the divine flow of love stemming from the exuberant hospitality of God towards us. So how do we continually build up this picture of God, the three in one, for ourselves? Well, individually, we need to take time to open ourselves to the energizing and liberating life of God within us and around us, what Rowan Williams calls the rhythm that sustains the universe. We take time through prayer, through silence, through contemplation, through worship, to develop that deep inner experience of knowing we are loved by God. Taking time to allow the Holy Spirit to take us into the heart of Jesus' prayerful relation to the Father. And as a church community, we reconnect with the Trinity's dynamic reality, a reality of the future, God's future. Life in the church, says Williams, should be thought of as swimming in an overwhelming current of divine loving activity. I wonder how willing we are to participate in this. For this is really the very opposite of stagnation, of stasis, of looking back as Lot's wife did with such dire consequences, if you remember from that story in Genesis. Poor Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Now, there is no doubt at present that it is very hard to think of what God's future might be for the church, and I know we've had some discussions already about this. We, the last 2 years, have caused a stagnation, haven't they? Perhaps we're in a plateau now, and perhaps our anxieties are keeping us back from having that hope in God's future for the church. But God always is a God of the future and a God of hope. And I wonder what glimpse of God's future God is offering each of us now and us as a church community. The Lord be with you.